Some of the most outstanding kids in our youth group come from single parent families where a parent loves the Lord and influences that son or daughter in the ways of the faith. And happy is that child who has even one parent doing that. If you're a single parent, I just want to say to you that God has a special interest in you. He has a special interest in you. That's why he is called in Psalm 68 once again, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy habitation.
There's a popular song that claims one is the loneliest number, a sentiment that can be true for single parents. Filling in for an absent mom or dad can make the world's toughest job seem impossible. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig explains how the burden of singleness can be lifted for those who look to God as a constant present friend. After the teaching, Skip and Lenya have some encouragement for single parents.
And I think we can all individually take care of that. We surely know someone in our neighborhood or our child's class or something that we could offer to drop off, pick up, you know, have a meal, a holiday, invite that single family over. I mean, you know, what we do one to another is important to the Lord.
We live in a world filled with damaged relationships. Marriages and families are under attack. At The Connection, we want to put some spiritual equipment in your hands to begin mending any hurting relationships in your life. For a donation of any amount, you'll receive Beyond the Summer of Love, a book by Skip Heitzig that is a biblical guide for married couples and families that can help restore relationships that have been damaged by sin. You will also receive The Royal Road of Love, a special package that was inspired by a love song Skip wrote for his wife, Linya. It includes two original songs written and performed by Skip, quotes about love, and a special message from Skip that teaches how to develop a heart of mature love. Order this limited time offer by calling 800-922-1888 or by visiting connectiononline.org. When you make a donation and receive this resource, you will also be partnering with The Connection to keep us going forward with our mission and our message. Call now, 1-800-922-1888.
We invite you to mark your Bible in 1 Kings chapter 17 and 2 Timothy chapter 1. And as you do, we join Skip as he begins today's teaching.
The issue is this: single parents, especially moms, are often exhausted and depleted. It's true. They spend up all their energy and their time and their worries and their resources, and they're in a depleted condition. But it brings up another issue. And that is the need for single parents not to remain self-focused. Not to remain self-focused. Elijah's requests sound demanding, but he is helping this woman understand that there are other people experiencing a famine and other people having needs. And that might sound cold, but it is not. I visited a girl some years ago in the lockdown ward at one of the hospitals for psychiatric problems. She tried to commit suicide. She was in deep depression. We had a long talk, and it was a very wonderful talk. And at the end, I turned to her and I said, you know, God has a huge thing in store for you in your life. She goes, what do you mean? I said, God has a job for you to do. She goes, a job for me? I can't do anything. I said, oh, yeah, you can. She goes, I can't even get out of bed in the morning. I said, yeah, but you will someday. You'll be able to do it soon. And I gave her a task to do, a spiritual bit of homework. And she looked at me like, I could never do that. I said, do it. God has a job for you to do. She came to me 2 weeks later at a church service. She said, thank you. It gave me a sense of purpose, realizing God in heaven wanted me to do something. I was looking only at myself and drowning in that. I needed my eyes to be lifted to other people's needs. Elijah does that. Look at verse 17. Let's finish this story. It goes from bad to worse, unfortunately. And it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to bring my sin to remembrance and kill my son? He's getting blamed. He said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed. There he cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, have you also brought tragedy on the widow with whom I lodge by killing her son?" He's complaining to God. And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried out to the Lord and said, "O Lord, my God, I pray, let this child's soul come back to him." Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, "See, your son lives." Now the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is the truth." Her treasure, the one thing left, her son, after being widowed and having a famine, now he's dead. And she's, quite frankly, angry at God and gets angry at God's representative, which, by the way, is typical. If you want to get into the ministry, expect this. I find the people who have no problem with God usually have no problem with me. People mad at God somehow like to get mad at me. They're angry about God. Why would God? And they'll say, I'm mad at you. And I understand that's just part of the task. You know, I work for God, so I got to take the rap for God. That's how they view it. What is interesting to note, by the way, is that Elijah doesn't defend himself, doesn't even defend God. He just listens to her, goes in and pours out his complaint before the Lord. There's a couple of things before we move on to Timothy I want you to note here. Elijah's presence in this woman's life did two things. His coming to Zarephath, his entering into the widow's life, did, number one, brought a God focus into her life. "We're going to die." No, you're not. Here's the promise of the Lord. That provision isn't going to dry up until rain comes. And it happened. Brought healing to the son after the death. It brought a God focus. It caused this single woman to focus on God once again and his provision. Dennis Rainey, who has written a book on single parenting, said, quote, "I encourage single parents to stay focused first and have their hope in God. He says, I always talk about unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. He says, single parents may be more aware of their need for God's sustaining guidance than those in two-parent families. Second, single parents need to pursue a relationship with a fellow burden bearer, someone who can support them in their struggles and raising children." And Elijah provided that. He bore the burden, bringing a God focus into her life. The second thing he did is provide, at least for a period of time while he was lodging at that house, masculine influence, a role model. Let's call it a mentor. That's the catchword today. A mentor, a male influence, a role model for her son. And mentoring from godly adults can go a long way and make a great impact in the lives of children and single-parent families. Catherine Marshall was the wife of Peter Marshall, who was once the chaplain for the United States Senate. He died while the family was still in their young stages, leaving Catherine to raise the children all by herself. And Catherine said, as a single mom, "It takes a great deal of masculine companionship to make up for a father's steady presence in the everydayness of life." You know, there's a group in Pittsburgh I read about this week, headed by a guy by the name of Gil Duncan, who has a group that he calls Brothers Keepers. It is a mentoring program to take kids in the community whose fathers have left either by death or abandonment from age 8 to 18 and get into their lives and mentor them, help them. Elijah provided those two elements for this widow and her son. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. New Testament example, fine one, Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, Grace, mercy, peace from God our Father, Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, and as my forefathers did, without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and am persuaded is also in you, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Timothy, it seems, was raised in a single parent family by his mother, and also an extended part of that, his grandmother. Acts chapter 16, you don't have to turn to it, but that's the story of how it all happened. On Paul's second missionary journey, he puts Timothy on staff. It would seem that Timothy's family, at least mom and grandma, came to faith in Christ a couple chapters back, his first missionary journey. Paul goes through Asia Minor, stops off in Lystra, gets stoned, not metaphorically, but literally stoned, to the point of death, gets back up, goes back into Lystra. This made a huge impact on the town. Mom and grandma get saved. And eventually Timothy does. He becomes so mature that he joins Paul's staff. Now, in Acts 16, here's the description of him. He was the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek, it says. Excuse me. His father was a Greek. Now, we don't know what happened to him. Two things. Either he died, or, as was common, he left the family when they believed. He abandoned the family. Anyway, he was raised by a single mom and a grandma whose faith is remarked about. They made a great influence in a great man of God. Their influence went a long way in this guy's ministry. Can't forget that. Now, though Timothy's dad is not mentioned here, I would call it, there is a polite absence of his name when he writes this story. Ma is mentioned, grandma is mentioned, dad is not mentioned because the focus is on mom's faith. And I want to make this point based on that. Author and counselor John Trent, who was raised by a mother without a father, father walked out of the family, said, I admired my mother because she never badmouthed her ex-husband in front of us. She never criticized him. She told us the facts of what happened, but she let us make our own conclusions based upon our own observations and didn't enter into what is so tempting to do, to badmouth, out of hurt, the spouse who is left. A couple of things to notice here before we end. Number one, the presence, the influence of one parent, is significant. I know the ideal is two, but God can make one go a long way further than you might think. And here, Timothy's grandmother and mother in the same home, that's like stereo evangelism, I guess, huh? Stereo Bible study. Both of them building up this child. There is nothing like the influence of a godly mom. I know. I have one. I had a mother and a father, but my dad was a very busy guy who was out a lot of the time, leaving her most of the time to raise us. Some years ago, we were sitting around the table, I think it was, and Nathan, as a young kid, leaned over to me. He goes, you know, Dad, godliness with contentment is great gain. And I said, oh, really? Now, where'd you learn that? And he goes, Mom. In other words, not from you, but from Mom. And he gave me his counsel. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Some of the most outstanding kids in our youth group come from single parent families where a parent loves the Lord and influences that son or daughter in the ways of the faith. And happy is that child who has even one parent doing that. If you're a single parent, I just want to say to you that God has a special interest in you. He has a special interest in you. That's why he is called in Psalm 68 once again, a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows is God in his holy habitation. Second thing to note about Timothy is the influence of a spiritual mentor, not only a single parent who loved the Lord and a grandmother, but a mentor. Verse 1, he says, to Timothy, a beloved, what? Son. Now, he wasn't his son, but spiritually, he was his son. Emotionally, he took him on as a son. He loved him so much, Paul eventually said, I have no man like-minded as Timothy, who will naturally care for your state. Isopsukos is the Greek word. Like-souled, we track together. He's like a son to me. Became a mentor to him. Same kind of principles. Now I want to close with the third element of this study, and that is the church, a new family. I read something out of a magazine this week called Single Parent Family Magazine. This is what it said. This is for us tonight, all of us tonight as a church. A century ago, there were almost an equal percentage of single parents. But then it was due to desertion or death as opposed to divorce and never married situations. But what they had in those days that we don't have in these days was extended families. In other words, there was a sense of community 100 years ago. People didn't run around the country much. It wasn't a mobile culture like we are. So you'd live in a community, you'd have mom and grandma and aunts and uncles and cousins. Everybody would be around so that if there was an absent parent, an uncle, an aunt could step in and help out. So, since we have a mobile culture today, what group is it that ought to assume the role of the family? It is the church. God sets the solitary in families. And that is the role of the church. How? Let me give you three ways. Three things. And this would be good if you're not a single parent to write down. Number one, assistance. Assistance. Mowing a lawn, fixing a car, helping with tax returns at the end of that fiscal year, washing dishes, babysitting, fixing appliances, that's assistance. How can I help? Tangibly, physically. Number two, availability. Now, you know what I mean by availability? Think of a single parent. You know what they could use? Adult conversation. You laugh, but it's true. I just want to talk to an adult. I want somebody who will listen to me as an adult for just a change, for just a while. I want somebody who will laugh with me, cry with me, relax with me. And in that setting, you could provide good, solid, biblical counsel on very important issues like love, forgiveness, especially in dealing with the ex, guidance on future relationships. How about stuff like re-entering the job market? And that is such a huge barrier for so many, especially single moms. And Dick Purnell, ministers to singles around the country, gives us this advice. One of the greatest things you could do for single parents is to help a single woman know how to raise a boy, she writes to men. You could help single moms in showing them how to raise a boy and how a single father can raise a girl. They could use that help. Number three, mentoring. Mentoring. Assistance, availability, mentoring. Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. The widow of Zarephath's son was being role modeled, at least temporarily, by Elisha. You know, sometimes kids will respond better when they hear the truth, not from a parent, but from somebody else. Single parents are tired. They're exhausted. They have depleted their resources. Their energy is low. And besides, single parents often have a tendency to become best pals to that child. It's called enmeshing. It's unhealthy over a period of time. It's good to be friends, but you're a parent versus a child. But because of the loss, you seek to bring in that soulmate in the form of a child. It can be unhealthy. You can help by providing help for the children, counseling for the children, They need other friendships, maybe even your children. There was a time that a mother was delivering her second child. She was pregnant. She called the doctor. Doctor said, come right in. She told her young son, who was there with the babysitter, I'm going to the hospital. Mommy's going to have another baby. And she's leaving the door. Six-year-old Tad was his name. Offered this part of this parting wisdom. He said, now, Mom, when you have that baby, be sure and get a receipt. Just in case it's a girl, you could take it back. That's how a child thinks. But you know, that's how a lot of even adults think. When it comes to marriage relationships, I'd like to take her back where I got her. I'd like to take him back where I got him. Can I just do this thing over again? Or I wish I could reverse the wheels of what has happened, and I have now this mess, this problem. I want to go back. I want to take it all back. And you can't take it all back, can you? It is what it is. Whether you're married or you're a single parent. So, God is the father to the fatherless, the defender of widows, and he sets the isolated or the lonely into families. If you would allow God, no matter where you're at, no matter what situation you're in, whether you fit into all the categories we spoke about in the last 12 weeks or you fit in this category, if you allow the Lord to do what you can't do, you do your best, you entrust the rest, and let God be that father, that mentor, that helper, and avail yourself to the body of Christ, the family of God. And if, as the family of God, we really take this to heart and not go, great, good Bible study, what's next week? But deal with those single parents. What a blessing. What a blessing the church, as its design, could be.
No matter our situation, we as believers have family, the body of Christ. If you know any single parents, reach out to them and serve them with Jesus' love. Now let's join Skip and Lenya in the studio as they share an encouraging word with our listeners who are single parents.
This is a tender topic. Today we studied a tough role in our society, and it's single parents. Mm-hmm. I think because I get to work, the privilege of working with women, an awful lot of the women who come to our women's ministry are single parents.
That's right, they sure are.
And I'm not sure how they do it. I know God is our husband and God is there. But Skip, do you have encouragement for those who feel pressure from life's demand or family or friends, maybe even the church in this role as a single parent?
Yeah, I'd love to dive in. First of all, know that the church is a family. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the body of Christ. And it says that those members that seem to be weaker are more necessary. And I want you to hear that message if you're listening and you're feeling like, ma'am, I'm stretched in so many directions, and I don't know if I'm doing this right, and I'm so weak, and I'm so this or that. You are necessary. We need you, and we love you. And the Bible even says, I love that Psalm 68, that God sets the solitary in families. Let me apply that. God sets the single parent, the solitary, in families, and that family is the church, the body of Christ. And I'll tell you where the church can come in. If you're a church leader and you're dealing with this in your own churches, assistance will go a long way. How can you come alongside single parents and offer them assistance with chores? You know, we've had people in our fellowship who've found single women, single mothers, even older ones.
Repaired a porch, replaced a screen.
Air conditioned, heater, et cetera, et cetera. And then availability, not just assistance, listening, guidance. And then on top of that, I'd say mentoring. You know, it's just, it helps when somebody can give you advice and speak into your life and pour into you principles that maybe you haven't heard yet or haven't really gotten a grip on. And it just to have that older voice there to give you that backup. Not, doesn't have to be an older voice, just another voice.
And I think we can all individually take care of that. We surely know someone in our neighborhood or our child's class or something that we could offer to drop off, pick up, you know, have a meal, a holiday, invite that single family over. I mean, you know, what we do one to another is important to the Lord. So just try and make sure if you're blessed and you have a solid marriage, that you would just remember and do something kind, you know, that you could do your part.
The Connection with Skip Heitzig airs worldwide from the U.S. and Canada to Belize and New Zealand to equip believers and reach out to those lost in sin. You can help us get these verse-by-verse Bible teachings to more places so more people can grow in the knowledge of Jesus. Make a one-time donation right now. Pick up the phone and call 800-922-1888 or visit us online at connectiononline.org/give.
We all spend some of our lives as a single person. Tune in tomorrow as Pastor Skip looks at what the Bible says about this important time.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. A connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.